Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. Doing a bit of a different walk today because here in Britain it hasn't actually rained for a few days, so we're really enjoying a little bit of a break from the dampness, and we're walking along the old railway track in Wolverhampton. The birds are going crazy because it's a very, very spring-like day today. They're all shouting about it. So today I want to talk about a phrase that Pete likes a lot and often says, legs on a snake. So tell me, what is it that you mean when you say that?
Well, usually when I say that, I'm trying to get people to ask the question, does a snake need legs? Well, clearly a snake doesn't need legs. A snake is very good at being a snake. If it had legs, it'd be something else, wouldn't it? it'd be a newt or a gecko or something like that. And unfortunately, it's not my own original phrase. I'm not sure who first uttered it, but it's some Zen master way back in the mist of time. Described Indian-style meditations as legs on a snake. It's kind of quite strange to people that some streams in early Zen didn't really place a huge emphasis on sitting meditation. That's kind of a bit of a slightly later development. Now, of course, modern Zen is like the epitome of long, grueling sits. If you think of Vipassana 10-day session is something, well, you know, these Zen guys trump that with like months of staring at the wall, years sometimes. Of course, the founder of Zen, yeah, but Bodhidharma. The founder of the Chinese and Japanese threads in Zen, obviously. Maha Kashyap is probably the originator. Well, in fact, the Buddha is the originator. But Bodhidharma was a great sitter. He's meant to have spent many years listening to the ants scream. So people ask him, what are you doing? So he's just staring at the wall, you know, in his cave. And he said, I'm listening to the ants scream. I mean, you've got to love these characters, haven't you? But legs on a snake, it refers to all those kind of crazy things that people do and imagine in their spiritual quest. What's being called into question is really the whole idea of quest. The whole idea that the thing is a quest, that you've got to find something.
Yeah.
It's like you're like Frodo and the ring. You know.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, the minute you think that, you can see how the complications come, because if you think, well, there's a quest, well, there must be a way of going on the quest, a way of moving along the trajectory, along the path, that's better than other ways of moving along the path. So you then start looking for methods and tools and tricks to apply to get to this Shangri-La. I mean, the reality is you don't even know if the Shangri-La exists, let alone where it is, if it did exist. And if you think about it, anybody on a quest is actually just operating on a rumour.
Yeah.
They're pursuing a rumour. I suppose the best case scenario is that you've met somebody who seems to have something about them. And it impresses you. And you want it. And maybe they spin you some blarney, which makes you want it some more. And then there you are, you're on the quest, you're on the path.
Maybe even you've got a spiritual uniform to go with it.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, you can be buying into a whole caboodle of stuff, stories, uniforms, diets, haircuts.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Anyway, this phrase "legs on a snake" really refers to that syndrome, and legs on a snake are the methods. You know, you sit cross-legged like this, you face this direction, these are the accoutrements you have in the room, and you say this mantra so many times, and you say this other mantra so many times, and then you might get there. Yeah. Or you bring the energy up the spine, or you imagine the light coming down, or you invoke this or that god. And there's a methodology, you know, and you in order to do this, you have to believe this or that story. Chakras, shashumna, nadis. You have to kind of believe it before you can even operate it. All of that's legs on the snake. I mean, and the point being, of course, that a snake doesn't need legs. Neither does your consciousness need anything to be enlightened. Consciousness, here we go, like I've just started a rumour. But, you know, but what can you do? You don't need it. Consciousness is complete unto itself. This is what the message is. You know. And at its best, even though in the real world not always, Zen is one of those wonderful approaches that tells you you've got it. Now bloody live up to it. So the task is, it's not like going off and finding the ring or whatever, or getting the ring to Mount Doom. The task is to be what you are, thoroughly, you know. Live up to your consciousness, live up to the glory of your consciousness. Otherwise, you're playing legs on a snake. You know, I'm not going to show you. You know, the snake slithers around, goes about its snaky business with perfect efficiency. Billions of years of evolution have seen to that. You go and get a snake and you strap some little legs on it, some little robot legs or something, and the poor little fucker don't know what to do. This is what happens to you the minute you buy into any of these stories, the minute you buy into the whole idea of methodology and path. And it just makes you feel very worthy. Well, you're on the path, you know where you are now. Before, you were just chaotic, mooching around, taking drugs, being promiscuous, wasting your time watching box sets, you know. So you can kind of feel worthy. Legs on a snake, that phrase legs on a snake is meant to cut through all of those syndromes, really. And to bring you sort of right back to just what's going on, here and now.
It's got such a funny image in my head now of
a snake with some robot legs.
Who at first was really delighted because he bought a set of very expensive and highly ornate artificial legs, yeah, right, at the leg shop,
yeah,
and then strapped them on, yeah, thinking, oh, this is going to be great. Oh, yeah, finally, legs. And then went, yeah, oh, when the poor snake found, yeah, that it was tottering around and falling, yeah, over and just... actually just couldn't use them, yeah, at all.
I mean, all of this is... I mean, what you've just said there is explains why it's so easy to take the piss out of spiritual people. I mean, Monty Python kind of, you know, like launched an empire of comedy on that.
The empire of comedy was like The Life of Brian.
Yeah, all, yeah, that kind of stuff, you know. I mean, it's just so easy to take the piss, isn't it? And even though Bodhidharma was a great sitter and a great starer at the back of his eyelids and a great listener to the screaming of the ants, the legs on a snake message is one that he was pretty keen to pour over. I mean, for instance, the most famous story about the guy Rikyo who comes to Bodhidharma. Bodhidharma won't speak to him because he's like really, really getting into the ants doing their screamy thing. And in the end, he cuts his arm off and presents it to Bodhidharma to prove that he's serious. And Bodhidharma says, what's the matter with you then that you've got to cut your arm off? And he says, I cannot pacify my mind. Master, please pacify my mind. Bodhidharma says, bring me your mind and I will pacify it. The one-armed man says, but I cannot find my mind to bring it to you. And Bodhidharma says, there, I've pacified your mind. You know, he didn't say, oh, go away and say, I'm Klim Harim for 95 years, whilst wearing orange.
And holding one arm in the air.
And, yeah. and have your nom tattooed on your scrotum, you know. It's just like, you know, it's just like, well, he's basically, he's rubbing his nose in the fact that this is it. And it's amazing that, that needs to be done, but, you know, we love our paths, and we love our techniques, and we love the idea that there's something that we can actually do that will redeem our terrible situation. And that phrase, that hurt legs on a snake, is there to at least hold the possibility in front of you that you might be wasting your time. How horrible is that? But there you go, how sweet is that? How sweet is that?
The one useful thing about doing something like that is useful to discover that it doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, some of us are very stubborn. Yeah. And we'll stick with the mantra for 40 fucking years, you know. And it'll produce some effects. Just like alcohol produces effects. But an effect is just an effect. And the legs on the snake phrase is telling you, that. You know, an effect is just an effect. And have fun with them if you want to. But don't kind of start imagining that it's this, that or the other. Which again is the other problem, you know. Why do we think we need legs? In order to kind of do our snaky business.
Snakes can swim in everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's imagination. It's imagination.
Can't swim with the legs.
Yeah. And as much as I love imagination, you can get carried away with it in this realm. And it's probably a place where occasionally it's kind of quite useful to set it on one side. It's not like I'm against it. I think it's one of the great things about human beings. But, you know, watch out. Watch out, because it's imagination that might persuade you, especially when some beady-eyed guru gives you his shtick, and that you've got to go down the leg shop and buy some legs, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what that's all about. It's a kind of an iconoclasm, isn't it? And I should mention, you know, that the guy who chopped his arm off, who I mention frequently in these podcasts. Actually, that moment that Bodhidharma said to him, well, I've pacified your mind then. I mean, he was enlightened and became a very great master, you know.
But a one-armed master.
A one-armed master who went round telling everybody, watch out for the legs on the snake.
Yeah.
But like you say, we, you know, falling for it, as long as it doesn't waste your entire life, it's not terrible, because you find out. You fall out with it, you know.
Yeah.
If you are able to get the message, if you're a completely stubborn headbanger who's going to go like the whole log, including the postage, it's a bit of a disaster in some ways, really. And
bit tragic as well.
Yeah.
See people do that.
Yeah. Well, of course, life is tragic anyway. So.
Well, yeah. Okay, so now, all right, we'll put away our legs. What should we do now? What next? What next for the legless?
Yeah. We don't actually have to do anything. I suppose, except what I mentioned earlier. You know, it's to run with your being. You know, it's to run wholeheartedly with your being. In the full knowledge that you are complete. You know, and the legs are adding nothing to you. In fact, they're like an encumberment. You know, and in your snakiness, you can slither around perfectly efficiently. Once you know that, you kind of relax into your life, whatever it happens to be. Satisfied that it's cool, you know. And this doesn't mean to say you don't have any projects or any creative things that you want to accomplish. It's not like a complete passivity. It's a being with yourself, completely, wholly, you know, and being fine with that, you know. And as I said, the task isn't to tread the path. There is no path. The task isn't to improve yourself. You're already all right. The task is to live up to what you are, You know, so there is still some kind of struggle and stuff goes on. You know, I mean, it's the nature of life.
Yeah.
You know, don't imagine some kind of idealised, angelic passivity. It's not. Life is life.
Yeah.
It contains struggle. It contains peace. It contains space. It contains particulars. It contains universals. It goes from birth to death. It's characterised by endless change. Yeah. Be it. It's fine. And it's everything you want is in there. And I know it can feel desperate to be told that what you're doing is legs on the snake, and people can feel kind of bereft, and it can seem like somebody, it can seem like if you say that kind of thing, you're being cruel. It's not so. But the realisation that all the crap is legs on the snake is utterly liberating. It opens all the doors. Don't slam the doors shut. You know, buying into a load of costumes and techniques and second-hand ideas, that slams doors left, right and centre. There's no point, there's no need. You've got it. And I really, really mean that. I really mean it. You have the jewel. You have the blessing. Whatever you want to call it. The words fall apart. They're not great. But you have it.
So I hope everyone found that useful. And if you do find it useful and you would like to support us, if you'd like to become a patron and just donate a few dollars a month, that would be really, really helpful. If you go to the podcast page, there's a little green button at the top saying become a patron. Yeah. So if you click on that, that'll take you to the patrons page, and you can work on from there.
Otherwise we'll have to open a leg shop.
We'll have to open a leg shop, yeah.
I don't want
we
to.
We don't want to do that now.
I don't think I could do it, to be honest.
Okay. Speak to you soon.